evening, everyone. This is Dolores Cannon with the Metaphysical Hour. And we are live tonight. This is June the 21st in the year 2013.
Don't look at me. I don't know.
We've been going again and traveling, so we hardly know where we are. But that's what I think it is, anyway. Okay, I'm going to get that turned off. Okay, but we are taking call-ins tonight because usually when you know I'm live, everybody wants to call in, and that's fine. But we do want to talk about some of the things we've been doing in the last several weeks. We spent 2 weeks in England, but that was mostly for class.
Right.
We had a
workshop. We had the workshop at Alternatives.
In London.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had our class, which was over 120 people.
Yeah, we had the two different classes.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a big class. The classes are getting really big. And a lot of people now are signing up for the online classes, which started a few months ago, didn't it? February or March?
March.
Mm-hmm. And they're really producing a lot of good ones. Because we had a level two that we had about three or four.
We've had two different level twos now that some of the online people have done the online class have now come to that. And they're getting the same results. I mean, so it's very effective online.
Because we weren't sure how it would work. It is a live class, a videoing of a live class.
Right, it's the same class. Yeah.
But we're finding out it doesn't matter. They are getting it, and they're having good results at level two. So it's working. But we're hoping to take the pressure off of me so I won't have to be traveling so much. Because it's hard to be on the road to all these different countries. So we had a big class in England. Then we came back. We only had one day off. Not enough time to even get over jet lag. And we had to go to the film festival in Albuquerque. And this is the first time they ever put the film festival on there. And I think they're trying to get like Sundance.
There are a lot of film festivals out there. It was a conscious film, but there was a general and then they had a conscious media part to it. So,
mm-hmm.
And it actually was a good venue. They have a lot of theaters there. I was surprised at how many theaters are in Albuquerque, and so it was perfect for that. And now my understanding is, because of the success that it had, now the city is fully behind them, and they want to give them more access to the more city now. So it's really good.
Yeah, because they had all these films showing that they were voting on. And we were instrumental. Vitaly, our right-hand man in England, was instrumental in bringing over some really good films that were entered. And, of course, we had the one that I've been in, Three Magic Words. That was one that was shown. And they had another one about UFOs that I had was on the panel with.
The Q&A afterwards.
Yeah, afterwards. It was about UFOs. It was called Hidden Hand. And that was interesting. To me, it was kind of basic information. That most of you, if you've been out there studying UFOs for a very long time or been into it for a while, you would have already had this information.
Yeah, I think it was written more for the mainstream and just at all the different places that they might be and then bringing them all up to one even plane.
Mm-hmm. You know? Trying to go according to all the different facets of the UFO phenomena.
Yeah, myths and legends and all the different things that people have heard about them.
Yeah.
Bringing information in.
Yeah, of course, I was watching it, and I was thinking if they could have added a little more about one thing or another. But they were trying to keep it so it appealed to everyone. I think they were really aiming at those who have no knowledge of it or very beginners.
Right, the mainstream.
Mm-hmm. But that was interesting because we were very active with that, and I did a lot of filming with Jane Carmen.
Mm-hmm.
Afterwards, he's filming for some more videos he's doing. So we spent a lot of time with him. But I think the best one of all was the one that won the best of show.
Well, and you also forgot you didn't see the Blue Jewel. That's why you forgot about it.
I didn't see that one. But these were all metaphysical movies, and I think that is good because it shows they're out there.
Mm-hmm.
But the best one that Vitelli was instrumental in bringing over had to do with the Dalai Lama. It was called The Road to Peace. And the man who made that spent 5 years following the Dalai Lama all over London and England and filming all the appearances he had, and he put it all together in pieces. And it was a very good film. You might be surprised that the Dalai Lama really has a very good sense of humor.
Yeah, that's what I liked about it. It made him so personable. You could see, you really like him. He's a very likable person.
He's very human.
Mm-hmm. He's so sweet. But that's what it did. It brought him to human rather than all the, you know, just rituals and things like that. It was the human side of him.
Because you put him up on a pedestal like you do with a lot of these stars and things. And you get them up there, then it's hard for them to see them as human.
Right.
But he relates with audiences. Mm-hmm. Just very wonderful.
Oh, yeah. He's a very sweet person.
And
what came across on the film, anyway.
Well, he had a very good sense of humor. That's what I liked.
Right.
He was joking with people, and they would make some kind of a sarcastic remark or something, bring in politics and things, and he would just brush it off with his logic. It's his mind, the way he thinks.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's very much into peace and harmony, and he brings things back around.
Very much not into politics.
No, he doesn't want anything to do with that. And so when they try to bring in all the things that are happening in the world, he brings it back to the individual person and their responsibility.
Right.
For making their own life.
Right, absolutely. And that is what it's all about. You take care of your universe, which is you. Everything else takes care of itself.
And that's what we've been teaching anyway. So it was all very much aimed at the same things that we've been involved with. In fact, he kept saying the key to everything was to be kind. And I know when we did another Q&A, somebody said, how can you be kind? You can't make people be kind.
Oh, it's just a heart thing.
Yeah, you can't make people do anything. But it has to be something.
It's not about making people do anything.
You can't. So, but that's what they said.
That's not what we're trying to do.
But that's what this one woman said in the Q&A. How can you make people be kind? You can't.
No.
It has to be something that you...
you want to do. You just do it.
And you just naturally do it.
Mm-hmm. That's the same. It's a heart thing.
Yeah, it comes from the heart. It has to come from the heart. Mm-hmm. And that's what I teach in my work anyway.
Right. If you're trying to make something happen, that's a head thing. You just feel it. That's a heart thing.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we're teaching in our classes and the lectures. Well, I forgot to give out the toll-free number here. I better give it out in case anybody wants to call in. 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008 for anyone who wants to call in tonight, because we're open to questions of any kind. But it was interesting. It was very hot, up to 100 degrees in Albuquerque, and we were having to go to all these different theaters.
I tell you, that was welcomed after it was cold in England, and so that was very welcomed. It dried the bones out.
Yeah, but a little too much. It was a... opposite of what we've been experiencing. But it was, The Road to Peace is a very good film. And it did win the best prize. And I believe it's going to be...
it was the audience selection for the documentary. It was the people's choice.
People's choice.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be shown because their Ludleys will get distributors now. And they'll be shown...
right.
All over through the different distributors and Netflix. They always try to get into those.
Well, on Road to Peace, they can purchase it through us.
Well, we have copies.
We have copies. It can be purchased through us.
Mm-hmm. And it's a very good movie about the Dalai Lama. Do you want to tell about the other one, The Blue Jewel? Because I didn't see that. Also metaphysical.
Right, absolutely. And this was, it took him, I'm not sure how long, he was working on it for quite a while. But he went to all the people that called themselves planetary healers. So they were energy workers, is my understanding. A lot of these things were things I hadn't I'd never heard the earth called the Blue Jewel before. They kept commenting that that's what it's called. I'd never heard that.
No.
But that's what the Blue Jewel is about. It's the earth. And it's, but it's showing, it's again, the responsibility, it's the people, it's healing the planet. And so it's actually people healing, you know, earth healers. But it's also about being responsible. And this is our earth. This is our home. This is our, you know, so it's that again.
Taking care of the earth.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You probably call it the Blue Jewel because when you see it from space, it is a water planet.
Well, exactly. I get it. But I'd never heard that. And they were commenting on the film that this is a common term for the earth. I thought, I've never heard that term. So that was interesting.
Well, the man who made it was German. I don't know if that has anything to do with it.
Well, but everybody he was interviewing, well, he did interview a couple that were in Germany, I think, and everybody else was in New Mexico. Most of it was filmed right there around Albuquerque, so in that area. So these are people from here. So I don't know. And that's what somebody had asked in the Q&A afterwards. They didn't know these people. Who were these people? You know, so it was just something that people he found on his quest for metaphysical information and knowledge. It was just stuff that he got. You know, so everybody, all these things, people's growth processes, you know, and they write about it or they do films about it. So that's what these are. These are, you know.
They get inspirations.
Absolutely.
And they spend years making these films.
Right. The thing that got me, though, was his, it was a, I don't know what to call it. I called it an amorphous thing. It's at the beginning, and he kept showing it throughout the film, and it's like, you know, where I think it was, what he said was he got it in a lot of the movie was channeled. It was his stuff that was channeled to him, and then he went and interviewed these healers, and so they filled in. So it's like, it's kind of like the three magic words, where it's based on something. Then you get people that fill in.
That agree
the rest
with
of the
what you're trying to find.
But he had this thing in there, and that's what I was asking about later. What was that? Because in a very different, I mean, it was very similar to something I had seen in a session, the idea of it anyway. Actually, how it was done wasn't quite the way I saw it, but the idea of it was it. And when I asked him later, what was that? And he said that was like all that is, and it was the essentially what puts everything out there. And that's what you could see energy moving through it. That was one thing he got there, and I thought, yeah, that's correct. But it was like this thing that goes down. It has all these tentacles that go out into all these places. Well, it just showed one going to Earth, like it was this thing out there, and one goes to Earth. But when I saw it, it was like this thing. It represented it as a person, but we could say it's a thing because it could be represented however.
Mm-hmm.
But it showed
the source or stuff.
Exactly. Barrett kept calling it the core.
The core.
And it would draw, it had these tentacles representing how it drops down into, from the core, it drops down into different space-time events. So in that way, it's moving dimensions. Where his drawing, it was like space. You're just to different places. Well, what I saw was you drop here for an experience. You can drop back into 1800s for an experience. You can drop into this dimension over here for an experience. You can drop into 2200 for an experience. You can go future. You can go, because it's all the same. So it's all just space-time events.
Yeah, so we know
so your experiences.
Simultaneous
see,
time.
See, you drop down, your energy goes into those for experiences, and then it feeds back the experience. And but that's a very fourth or fifth dimensional idea. That would be really hard to do in a the medium that he had there. But that isn't how it came across, and that's why I was asking him later. His statement was like what I saw. But again, I didn't get to talk to him further about exactly what I saw and how it worked and if they were exactly the same thing. But when I saw it, I got the tingles. It was like, okay, this is somebody else's interpretation of the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, that means if other people are getting the same ideas, then it has to be real.
Right. And it makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know, we're understanding, as our brains have the concepts now, to know, to realize and understand that source and all that isn't a person, which is we've been over for a long time, we can more understand it's an energy that feeds or energy that creates, but then that also goes to something else. See, we're able to see it in a different way than we've ever been able to see before.
Not at all, so, like the churches talk about God.
And so that allows us to be able to come up with things like this, because that's probably much closer to actual.
Well, we know we're evolving. Everything is shifting and changing. People all over the world, everywhere we go, are feeling there's a difference. So this is the way we're evolving now, that these are no longer foreign and weird concepts to us.
Right.
We're able to understand them and relate to them. So these filmmakers, a lot of them are young, too. They're not.
Right, yeah. They're, what, 30s? I'd say 30s.
Mm-hmm. So that's the age, I guess, maybe one of the three waves.
Second wave age. And see, and that's a perfect medium. That's what I'm saying. They're in broadcasting of different kinds. A lot of second waves are in broadcasting.
Yeah, and observing.
Mm-hmm.
And broadcasting and sending energy out where it's needed. So that'd be perfect for them to be in making films.
Right.
And they're very much into these metaphysical films. There's a lot of this going on, folks. You're going to be surprised. You're going to see more and more of it as this goes on. But it was an interesting, we were there for about a week, I think, in Albuquerque, with all the things that were going on, and to see all the people involved in this whole thing. Robert Redford was there. He had this night, one night at the theater, and it was sold out.
Right. That was nice.
And he was giving talks. It was interesting that he's always considered himself more as an artist than actor.
Well, an actor is an artist, though. But
yeah.
But he drew, which, well, I never studied him. Maybe anybody who really followed him would know that about him. But
because he said he was always interested in art, and since he was a child,
right. He could draw.
And
really
he
well.
Could draw. And he was really into that, and that was his passion. And then I don't remember how he said it happened, but he had this crossroads where he was offered to become an actor.
Right.
And he didn't know if he wanted to do it or not. Thought he had to give up on his real passion, art, to do acting. But then he said, as it went along with his career, he found out, I don't have to give up anything. I can combine the two.
And I think that's what people start, that's where we are now. I think we keep thinking, we're at that point, if you did have to feel like you gave something up, now is the time that you can incorporate it back in. You just needed to develop something else. And now you can see where you can pull them all together. They all are applicable. It's not that this was a wasted talent. No, it's something you can mix now and use it to go forward.
Because he said he found out he didn't have to lose it. He could combine the two. And then when he was being an actor and began to go into directing his own films, he drew the storyboards.
Right.
And if you know what the storyboards are, they just make like the cartoon strips of the actions that are going to be taking place. It's drawn first before they ever film it. And he was doing his own storyboard.
Yeah, so that was the easiest way for him to communicate to the photographer, I get the person doing the filming, of what he was trying to capture, or whoever was writing
the script,
the scene and stuff.
The scene.
Yeah, this is what I want to look like. He could draw it, and then they knew exactly what to do. So
he was able to combine those. So he really is doing a lot with art, very much involved with it. His wife was there. She talked another night, and she's very much into dance.
She had they had dance, and then she has her art. She paints.
But the ballet company, too.
Mm-hmm.
So these are sides of Robert Redford you wouldn't even think existed. You always see him, his Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, that kind. But he has a different side. But a lot of people we found out there in Hollywood are not what the average person, the public at large, thinks they really are. They have these other parts to them.
Right. He's a very down-home person. So he really likes the basics. He likes to stay with the... he's not into all this modern stuff and everything. He likes like Route 66, he doesn't like the freeways, you know. It's like
the old
he likes to be with the basic stuff, you know, and that's why he lives in New Mexico and Utah. He just wants a place out in the country. And
yeah, to get away from everybody else. But they said they are doing a lot of filming now in New Mexico.
Right.
And that's one thing this was about, was to try to bring the attention of the world that you can come there and film. To me, I think it's hot and it's desert.
It's great for westerns.
Yeah, westerns, but I can't see deserts. But they say it's cheaper to film there.
Mm-hmm.
And Morgan Freeman was there. He was filming for
He and Johnny Depp were there filming. Not at the here, but they were in town.
Yeah, they weren't at the film festival, but there were a lot of actors there filming different things.
Mm-hmm.
And I met Lawrence Fishburne, the one from The Matrix. He was also there.
Right.
But I never found out what he was there for.
Right.
But so they are there doing different filmings. If you see something taking place in the desert, you'll say, well, it was filmed around Albuquerque.
Yeah, if they did something outside. Otherwise, they build the sets and it's all inside.
Yeah, like the other ones. I think with tax breaks and stuff like that. That's what we've been telling us for years now. They don't do as much filming around Hollywood anymore. They do a lot in Canada. We've known that. But we've been out there before in Burbank.
Right.
There's still some right there. So if you're going to Hollywood and hoping to see all the movie stars and films being made, you're going to have to look pretty hard. They're finding other places to do it.
Right.
Uh-huh. Okay, but that was an interesting week. And then we just got back from Hollywood, and one thing was interesting there is these people we were with took us to the Muppet Studio.
Yeah, Jim Henson Studio.
Jim Henson Studio. And it originally was Charlie Chaplin. They said it started out as Charlie Chaplin's mansion,
his home. Exactly.
And then he turned it into his studio.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess Jim Henson bought it from him. There's pictures of Charlie Chaplin all over. But they showed us the original Muppets, and they've showed us how they operated them as puppets. And it was really interesting. But they said Disney bought out the Muppets.
Right.
So they're not doing that there anymore. But they did show us it's the highest form of animation that's being done.
It's real-time animation, which is not done anywhere else.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, that's the new thing they can do. It's real-time animation rather than the old-fashioned where they had to draw all the scenes.
Used to be like when Disney in the old days had to draw each frame, every movement. And I think a lot of the cartoons, all of that was done like that. But not anymore. They said this is the highly advanced. I think that studio is the one that's leading
field. Yes, exactly.
Because they showed us how it was done with a computer. And how would you describe that? Kind of like those games where you use your hands to control?
Yeah, to me it was a lot similar to the Wii games, where they do that. People out there, I haven't ever done it, but that's where your body movements based on the gloves and the things that you're wearing controls
what's happening
on the screen. So.
Mm-hmm. So that's what they were showing us. You put these gloves on and you can manipulate this, I guess like a cartoon character on the screen.
Right.
Make it move, his eyes move, and the body movements. And it's very realistic.
Right. But when he was going on to describe how they would do scenes, it sounds like a very intricate work. I mean, it's not just real simple, here we have these wee things and we can do it. I would love to see a whole production going on. That would be amazing.
They're doing a lot there
right.
at that studio. So even though Jim Henson died and the Muppets were sold, there's still a lot of work being done there.
Oh, absolutely.
And there's all kinds of puppets sitting around and statues of the old characters that were in the Muppets. It was really interesting
mm-hmm.
to see it all.
Yeah. It was a nice surprise.
We weren't expecting that when we went out there. But it is interesting. They said it's the highest form of animation. So this is probably going to become the norm now.
Now, the biggest thing is it's real time. It's usually animation It's months and months and months you have to work on. This is real-time animation.
Doing it right now.
Yeah, it's live. It's live. Live animation, real-time. They can do it right there. Shoot it and be done faster than a lot of live shows.
Hmm.
So.
Well, they are working on commercials. They're getting a lot of orders for those. Mm-hmm. So everything is speeded up. It's all, the technology is just moving so fast. And that's what I think, and this shows you, where we see it right there, that the technology is way beyond anything we could have imagined even a few years ago.
Right, it's constantly evolving. And you just have to, you know, just go with it. Just go with the flow.
We just happen to...
that wave, you're talking about.
We happen to be in a position where we travel so much that we get to see a lot of these things. And people are always so kind to show us a lot of things, take us places the average person doesn't get to go.
Right.
So we see a lot of interesting things. We have a lot of interesting adventures.
Yes, we do.
Anyway, now we're back, and next week I go to Canada for a class there. But what we're really focusing on right now is our transformation conferences coming up. This is our 8th one. 8 years we've been doing this, and we started it 8 years ago. It was focused on my authors with the publishing company, because many of the new authors out there have never done any lecturing. They've never appeared before the public, and you know, you have to do this or your books don't sell.
Right.
You have to get out and promote. You have to talk to people. You've got to be before the public, and many of authors have never done that. So 8 years ago, we started this conference as a showcase for our new authors so they could get out there and be able to talk to the public. We said, get their feet wet. But you said when you have 400 people there, it's not like getting their feet wet. It's like throwing them into the pond.
Right, deep into the pool. So.
But it's good for them to know how to do it. And every year we've done this now, we've always had some really good keynote speakers
right. That
are there. And this year, we're going to have George Murray. And a lot of you out there may know him from the Coast to Coast shows. And he can only come in for one day, because, boy, his schedule is even more hectic than mine. He's going to be there on, the conference is July 19th, 20th, and 21st. It's
right.
3 days, and it's in Springdale, Arkansas.
Right.
We've moved the venue since last year, but
right.
It's still over not too far from the airport.
Yes.
In Springdale, Arkansas, and it's at the Holiday Inn.
Yes, Holiday Inn Convention Center.
In Springdale. The 3 days, and you want to tell them what the price is, or do you know?
Well, right now, yeah, I know. It's $170 for the 3 days, and that includes a three-course buffet every day for
mm-hmm.
lunch.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a great deal. And we also have, it's not advertised yet, but we also have, we're going to have a dinner on Saturday night where everybody can meet the speakers and mingle with them, and George will be there as well. I mean, all the speakers will be there. So
yeah,
that's a great time to just let down your hair and get, you know, rub shoulders and have fun with the speakers. So.
Because that's what he said. He can only get there on Saturday. He gets off the air Saturday morning at 4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So we really had to manipulate these flights to get him in here to do his talk. And he's going to be what he calls a meet and greet. Because he said on the air, people always want to ask questions and they never get a chance. So this is a chance for the audience to ask him questions. And then that night is the mixer. And it's going to be like a buffet.
Yeah, it's a buffet. And then
the mixer.
But it's very informal and everybody's approachable.
Yeah, and that George said he will go to every table and talk to everyone that's there.
Wonderful.
He's very he's very approachable.
Mm-hmm.
He's very easy to work with. And he really likes people. And he's a really good interviewer. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
But he cares about these audiences. He cares about people. So this is what he said. He'll go to every table and talk to everyone who comes. So that ought to be interesting.
Absolutely.
And so that's going to be Saturday night. And then Sunday he'll have to leave. But another keynote we've got is William Henry. And you in metaphysics should probably know him because he has written many, many books and he has volumes of information.
Right.
We're not quite sure what he's going to talk about yet. He's going to have two talks.
I'm sure it has to do with the Stargate, though. So,
you think so?
That's what his material is all about, the Stargates and the revelations and things like that, so the portals. So
mm-hmm.
I'm sure it will be.
But he writes about other things, too, everything metaphysical.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been on several things with him, and he's a wonderful person and an excellent speaker, has a great deal of information. He's going to be giving two talks, one on Friday and one on Saturday.
Right.
But he has so much material, we just don't know exactly yet what he's going to talk about. But those are the two main keynotes, is George Noory and William Henry.
Well, and you.
And me, yeah. I always speak the last thing on Sunday when it's over with. And I think what I'll be talking about this year, I'm going to be focusing on the convoluted universe material. Last year I spoke about the three waves of volunteers, but there is so much information in that, and people are always asking questions about it.
Right.
These are the complicated concepts. The mind-bending concepts. And I haven't really focused on a lot of that. So I think that's what I'll be talking about in my lecture. Let's see, who else have we got? We've got Justine, who's been coming every year. Justine Alessi. And I consider her to be the master tarot reader. She is the best I have ever seen anywhere. And we published her book, Rebirth of the Oracle, is how she took the definitions for the tarot and brought them into the modern world. And the other definitions are too old. And she made it to where people nowadays can understand them. So she focuses on that. But she is she's a fantastic person, and she can work an audience. She goes through the audience and tells everybody things about themselves.
Right. She has a wonderful system where she's developed these archetypes based on the court cards, the queens and the knights and the kings. And so she can just look at you and tell you what archetype you are, and then she'll tell you what those archetypes are, how they are. And it's you to a T. You're like, how did she know this? So,
the characteristics.
She can just look at you. She knows.
You tell the characteristics about you.
Mm-hmm.
So she's going to be there. Oh, and she's going to be giving a class, a workshop, after the conference is over, where she's going to be teaching the way she does the tarot.
Right.
We've got several workshops that people are going to be doing, don't we?
Yes, we do. And they're not on the site yet. They're going up probably a little later today, tomorrow. We're revamping the site, and so that's where all this new information is coming
mm-hmm.
onto. But they'll all be on there very soon. There is a place where it shows it, but it just doesn't show the descriptions, and it doesn't show the prices.
Of what they're going to be
mm-hmm.
the workshop about.
Because,
right. You know, you can only tell so much in an hour and a half lecture.
Right.
So this gives you a chance to learn a lot more.
Well, this is where she actually teaches you how to do what she does.
Yeah, that's what Justine does.
Yeah.
But another one that has become very popular is Guy Needler.
Right.
And he's an author that we published from England. And we now have three books by him. We've done.
Well, this will be
the third one is coming out now.
Right.
And he's an engineer by trade, but what he does is not normally what engineers would do. In my work,
only in that it's metaphysical, but the other part of it is using the
intricacies
of the brain. Yes, that would be normal to understand the minute
intricacies.
Yes,
because in my work, I would place those kind of people in the left brain people, which are analytical, and I would be surprised at them being so creative. and metaphysical. But the first book of his that we published, oh, it's been several years ago now, was The History of God. And that one, I would say people like my Convoluted Universe books. There were people who want their minds bent like pretzels. But this goes beyond that.
Yeah, I like to say that your books are the deep end of the pool. His are the ocean. So it's like that. His are, especially these Beyond the Source books, they are so deep.
A lot of people like that, and they're ready for it. Now, a few years ago, they would never have understood it.
Exactly.
But the history of God, he got to levels, was able to go to these different levels where no one has ever gotten to before and ask questions at those levels. And many of, in the book, it talks about these beings that are in these different levels or dimensions said, what are you doing here? You don't come here.
Right.
But there he was, and so he began finding out about God and where God came from, what God was all about. He calls it the Source. And all the history of God. And it's really fascinating. But it takes somebody with a brain that can understand some of these things. But then after that one, he wrote the other books, was called Beyond the Source. And this may be hard for some people to understand unless you're into this type of thinking, but it's like we have a God or a source over our universe. He's ours, but there are many others out there. It's not the only one. And there's other ones that are gods or for sources for other universes. So he was able to go through 12 different universes.
Yeah, there's 12 different sources.
Yeah, that he was able to find. Mm-hmm. And the first book is the Beyond the Source, goes you through 6. And it's fascinating because each of these universes have different laws and different rules that are governed by. And this is where it takes somebody with a deep mind to be able to understand this. If you really like going into deep, deep material. That's where his is. Mm-hmm. Because in my work, it says there are many, many other universes, and they all have different rules and regulations. And I even found that in mine, that there were some that, the planets have loop-de-loop orbits, or they may be not square, but they'd be oblong planets. They have different kinds of orbits, and it's talking about all these strange things. And in my work, I said, yes, but that doesn't obey the law of physics. They said it does obey the law of physics in that universe.
Right.
But he had to have the mind to be able to isolate each one of these universes and see the how they worked. Because one thing, Earth, they said, is a dual universe. We know that. Everything comes in twos. Good, bad, love, hate.
You have your polarity.
Yeah, there's always two opposites. That's right. What Earth is.
Right.
But these other ones operate on different ones. He says some of them are triple, some of them are quadruple, where the rules are. And even up to 5 and 6. He said, by the time you get up to 12, very few people can even comprehend it. It's so complicated. But he did 6 and the first book. And I asked him, why didn't you put all 12 in the one book? And they said, no, people needed time to digest those first 6. But it all makes sense the way he analyzes it and goes into all the rules and regulations, the way if they have beings, some of them don't have beings, and how it all works together. And then he said he was going to put the next 6 in the next book. And I said, yeah, if your brain holds out, because I don't know how he would possibly have been able to comprehend all of this and keep his brain together.
Right.
But we published Beyond the Source, and now he has finished, what is Beyond the Source?
Beyond the Source, book 2, and that's what's coming out. That's what he'll be talking about.
Yeah, and it's getting even more complicated in that, but he goes all the way through 12. I don't see how we could find anything else to write about after
that.
No,
he's got another one he's working on. He's done one that's more of a basic book, and that's about avoiding karma, so that's where he's come back. But then he's working on this
back
other
to
one.
The
he's working on
normal.
Another source book, and I'm trying to remember the name of that. Oh, I can't remember the name of it, but it's another where he's talking to source. So.
I figured that this would, there's not much you can find out after that. But anyway, he is going to be there. He's going to be doing three workshops.
Right. He's got his, he teaches people how to do what he does. And he's got different levels. And level three has to be taken much later after level one and two. They have to do a lot of practicing. So he's doing level three before the conference for the people that took his other levels beforehand. And then he's doing another level one and two after the conference.
That's the way we do it, so
right.
You have to have the other first.
Absolutely.
But because he learned all of this kind of by accident.
Yeah, he just stumbled into it through meditation.
Yeah, how to do this. And so now he's able to teach others. So he's doing workshops now everywhere.
Everywhere, yeah. He just finished in India and Hawaii. I want to say Japan, too. I'm not sure. He's going to a lot of different interesting areas. So
it shows you people are interested in the deep end of the pool.
Absolutely. Oh, the ocean.
The ocean. So he's going to be there. He'll be doing a lecture, but he will have three workshops for people who are interested in learning to do the complicated type of, I guess you'd call
it
channeling.
Well, it's called ascending. Traversing the levels. That's where you learn how to go up the levels. And I think at the end of level one, you get to source. At the end of level two, you
workshop.
You do more with the source or something. And I'm not sure what level three is.
Well, we'll find out.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But he's going to be doing three different workshops.
Right.
And then we have, let's see, who else is going to be speaking?
Sherry Cortland is mm-hmm. a returning one.
And we have her third book.
Right, and that's The Spiritual Toolbox. So, and that's about all the tools that you need as a light worker, is how to do the work now. Now that we've transitioned, we're over here, now how do we do this? What do we do? So, yeah.
So she's going to be giving a workshop on that also.
Yeah,
two workshops, I think.
She's doing two workshops. I know one of them is on automatic writing, and I don't remember right now what the other one is, but it's two different ones. She just kind of broke her things down into smaller workshops that would make it so they're not so overwhelming of information.
Yeah.
But, yeah, keep it simple.
And she's a businesswoman, and she's got over into this. At first she was afraid, what would her employers think?
Oh, she was afraid of whatever anybody would think. Her first book is so funny because it's all these other people. Oh, my God, what are they going to say here? Oh, what are they going to say here? What are they going to... Finally, she just gives up. Like, who cares? And then she found out that everybody accepts her. So, and that's how it works. Don't worry about it.
They didn't try to fire her or anything because she was weird and strange. I think we've gone past that point. But she's one, and she spoke at our other conferences, too.
She's been there several years, but she keeps putting out really good books, and she's a very good speaker, and she has so much to teach.
Mm-hmm.
So,
we have Charmian, that's her name, Charmian Redwood from Hawaii, and she's written a book about Lemuria. And it has come through hypnosis, really, with
right.
a lot of different clients about what it was like to be in Lemuria during
right.
the time it was there. And so she's going to be talking about that. Her book is just now coming out.
Right. And then we'll have the other approach from Jack Churchward.
Yeah.
With his grandfather's work. Was it great-grandfather or grandfather?
Great-grandfather.
Great-grandfather.
Those of you who have been in metaphysics for a long time will remember James Churchward. He came out in the 1920s with the first one to ever write about Lemuria, but he called it the Land of Mu. And I helped edit that book, so I know what it was about. He has taken his great-grandfather's work and brought it back. and he's added his own comments and his own research. But his great-grandfather lived in monasteries back in the 1920s. But, you know, it was a lot harder back in those days to go and do anything. And he was there long enough that these monks showed him ancient papyruses and scrolls. So he began to get all this information about this ancient land. And so he wrote these books. But he was criticized. The skeptics tore him up because they said, this is ridiculous. What do you mean there was a country over there, a land over there? And even his own family, everybody ridiculed him because he was way ahead of his time. But he came out with the very first books on the land of Mu. And his great-grandson is Jack Churchward, and he's going to be talking about his great-grandmother's work and what he has done. Mostly, he hasn't changed anything in the book.
Right, he just added some of his own
research, and he has pictures in there, all the original pictures that his great-grandfather did. So those two are going to be interesting, coming on different days.
Exactly, and giving different perspectives of it. So
uh-huh.
One from the factual, this is what we have evidence-wise, and then the other from hypnosis, this is what it was like.
Lived there,
in
Lemuria. Because it was interesting, those people in Lemuria came before the ones in Atlantis. And when they first came, they didn't have solid bodies. They were more like ethereal bodies. So they hadn't gotten solid physical bodies for quite a while afterwards. So it's like more or less like the development of man on Earth, really.
Right.
And then it tells how it went down and what happened there. And a lot of the survivors went to Atlantis, and they were there. So the two are two separate things. See, who else?
Catherine Andrews is a new author, and she's got the book, The Soul Choices. And that's with the six paths to finding your soul's purpose. So that's really exciting, where she just goes into all the different ways that people use to find, you know, what they do, and put it all in one place. So through this, you can see exactly why you're here. And she's doing a workshop on that also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're getting some good authors. Every year we try to have our new ones just coming out. We have a lot of them that we've published for years.
Right.
But when they get a new book or we have new ones coming up, we like to have them at this conference.
Right. Another one that's coming is coming in from
Hong Kong.
Hong Kong, yeah. And that's Albert Cheung, has the Emperor Stargate. It's a form of Chinese astrology.
Mm-hmm. It has charts and everything. It has to do with the Chinese astrology.
Completely different way of reading astrology.
And he's going to be doing a workshop, too, to explain the method that he's come up with Chinese astrology.
Right.
So we're bringing him all the way from Hong Kong to be here to talk to everybody.
Right, absolutely.
And we're bringing Guy from England. So we are becoming we already are,
we
a worldwide.
Have been since the beginning. We've been an international conference
publisher.
We've never called ourselves that, but we are.
Because we have a lot of authors in many different countries.
Right.
We have another one in Australia, but she's not coming to.
Well, she's not. It's not official. I mean, we're still in the. She's not an author yet. So
oh, okay.
We're still doing the.
We said if it does, that would be our first one in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
But we are getting authors all over the world.
Another speaker we'll have, because this is another little slant from what we're talking about, is Patty Greer, and she'll be talking about crop circles, and she has her films and documentaries that she's done on crop circles, so she'll be showing those. She has some new evidence about how they're made and how they communicate, things like that, so that's very exciting.
And it has won some awards at the other UFO film festival, and she's going to show her film.
Right.
And then there's Garnet Schulhauser. He's wrote an interesting book. He said he met his, you know, your guide can appear in many different ways. And that's what they always say. You never know who you're talking to. But it even says in the Bible, be careful, you may speaking to an angel unaware.
Mm-hmm.
You never know, it could appear like an ordinary person on the street.
Right.
But his, he met this old man, like a hobo, a homeless man, and he kept seeing him everywhere he went. And he kept popping up, and he began to notice him, like, you know, who is this guy? He just keeps showing up. Then the man began to talk to him. And after a little bit, he began giving him information, and he found out it was his guide, just appearing as a homeless hobo. And he gave him a whole lot of metaphysical information, and that's what he writes about in the book. The book is called Dancing on a Stamp. And I think it's fascinating the way he came up with that title, because at the end of the book, he said, you don't realize it, but you have this whole ballroom that you could be dancing in, mm-hmm. and you're dancing on a stamp.
Right. In other words, so much more. So much more.
And you're limiting mm-hmm. your perspective.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You're limiting what you can know and what you can find out.
You can do all of it.
You have the whole ballroom to dance in, mm-hmm. and you're tippy-toeing on a little stamp.
Exactly.
That's really what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's going to be talking about that book, too. Think of any...
Oh, me.
Oh, yeah, Julia's going to be talking about her new book, Soul Choice.
Soul Speak.
The other one is Soul Choices. That's Andy.
Mm-hmm.
Her book, Soul Speak, and it's doing very well. She's getting very good reviews, even on Amazon.
Right, yeah. I'm so thrilled at that. I'm very grateful.
Because it's a book about the body and how the body talks to you. And
it's how you, bigger part of you, speaks to yourself through the body.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what those messages mean.
Because the body is an excellent messenger. And it's always trying to tell you things. We found out in my work that's what it's all about.
Absolutely.
So she wrote a book on this, the definitions of what these things mean, these different illnesses and ailments, what they're trying to tell you. So she's going to be lecturing on that, too.
Right.
I probably left somebody out. I think I probably did. We have a lot of speakers.
There's a lot. Anyway, go to the website. It's ozarkmt.com, and there'll be a conference. Right at the bottom of the page, there's several places on that home page that'll take you right to the conference page, and you can see the ticket prices. And like I said, we're adding all the workshop information and how to get into those, and the dinner, the speaker dinner. All of that will be added over the weekend, so it'll all be available to you. But everything's on there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have any questions, just feel free to email us or call us or anything. We're happy to talk to you.
Mm-hmm. So there's, I think it's going to be another big, good year.
Absolutely.
We started 8 years ago, and it just keeps growing every year.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And people
Wonderful.
Really, it shows that the people are ready for this.
Oh, and the people that come are fantastic. They're wonderful get-togethers. So.
That's what they've told us in the past. When they come to this, it's such a good energy, positive energy in this conference, and they like to come. This is a transformation conference, and it'll be July 19th, 20th, and 21st at the Hilton Convention.
No, the Holiday Inn. You're going to have everybody going somewhere, who knows where.
How did I get Hilton?
I don't know.
I think it's because we were just in the Hilton. We don't know where we are half the time anyway. But it's going to be at the 19th to the 21st at the Holiday Inn Convention Center in Springdale, Arkansas.
Right.
And we're including three-course meal every day.
Three-course lunch.
Every day.
Buffet, every day. Mm-hmm.
And that's included in the price.
Right.
And we've got some fantastic speakers.
Absolutely.
So we really hope you can join us there. And we'll be in Canada next week. But after that, I'll be live on the air for 2 weeks before we have the conference.
Right.
So I really hope you can come and join us. I think you'll like it. Okay, well, I think it's time to sign off now. And thanks, everyone, for listening.
Make it great.
Good night.